Chapter 2. When Sabrina woke, she was in a hospital room with a clunky plaster cast on her broken arm. Her little sister Daphne sat on the edge of her bed, busily scribbling, "Get well soon," on the cast with a black marker. Daphne had been through a lot in the last year and a half. Both of them had. The orphanage, the insane foster families, their nasty caseworker, giants, monsters, and mayhem. Through it all, Sabrina had protected her little sister the best she could, growing up fast so that Daphne wouldn't have to. It was worth it to keep the ever-present smile on her little sister's face. "Hey, monkey," Sabrina said. Daphne screamed with joy and hugged her sister tightly. "Are you okay?" Sabrina asked. "I'm fine," Daphne said, kissing her sister on each cheek. "And Granny Relda?" "She's good. She went to get a cup of coffee. She'll be right back." "Mr. Canis?" Daphne's eyes welled with tears. Sabrina hugged her sister to comfort her and to prevent the little girl from seeing the tears rolling down her own cheeks. Mr. Canis, a.k.a. the Big Bad Wolf, and her grandmother's best friend, had been trapped in an explosion that had blown up the girls' elementary school. It was part of a plot by Rumpelstiltskin, in disguise as the school counselor, to break through the barrier that kept the ever-afters in Fairyport Landing. He had used the students' anger to turn himself into a human bomb, and Sabrina had been the greatest source of his power. His plan had failed, thanks to Mr. Canis. And it was when Sabrina realized that her anger might have killed their friend that she used some borrowed magic to wish herself away from the destroyed school and to wherever her parents were. That was how she'd found herself face to face with the Jabberwocky and its mad mistress. And now she knew that Mr. Canis really was dead. She hugged her sister harder. "It's going to be okay," she said. Daphne quickly took a step back, crossed her arms, and forced a disapproving scowl onto her face. "You're grounded," she said. "What?" Despite her tears, Sabrina had to bite her lip to stop from laughing. "You heard me. You're grounded." "What for?" "Being a jerk," Daphne said. "Mayor Charming gave us the Little Match Girls matches. We were supposed to make a wish and step through the portal to save Mom and Dad together. But you ran off all willy-nilly by yourself without even knowing what you were getting into. You're lucky you weren't killed." It was obvious that Daphne had rehearsed this lecture many times, but the little girl's sweet face and goofy overalls made it hard for Sabrina to take her seriously. "This is super serious stuff," Daphne said, noticing the grin on Sabrina's face. "This isn't funny. I'm really mad. Every time something important is happening, you run off on your own and leave me behind. I'm part of this family too, you know." "Daphne, I was worried you'd get hurt. You're only 7 years old." Daphne's face grew red with anger. "I'm glad Puck did what he did to you." Sabrina's grin faded. "What did Puck do?" Daphne closed her eyes and bit her lip. "I just want you to know it wasn't my fault," the little girl continued. "When Granny told him there was no way in the world you could pay him $7 million for saving your life, well, he got real angry." "What did he do?" "Granny says it will come off eventually," Daphne whispered. Sabrina eyed the black marker in Daphne's hand, and a bubble of fear rose in her throat. "He didn't," Sabrina cried. "He did," Daphne mumbled. Sabrina stumbled out of bed and rushed to a bathroom in the far corner of the room. She stepped inside, flicked on the light, looked into the mirror, and screamed. Puck had drawn a thick mustache above her top lip that reached to the middle of her cheeks and ended in fancy curlicues. On her chin, he had drawn a devilish goatee. On her forehead were the awkwardly printed words, "Captain Duty Face." She looked like a deranged 11-year-old pirate. "He is so dead." Sabrina turned on the faucet and snatched a washcloth off the rack. Once it was good and lathered with soap, she scrubbed her face until her skin was red and raw. She rinsed the suds off to see her progress and screamed. Puck's graffiti was still there. "It's permanent marker," said Daphne, as she stepped sheepishly into the bathroom. Sabrina continued to scrub in vain. Eventually, she gave up and angrily threw the useless washcloth into the sink. Park had pulled some pretty terrible pranks in the past. Sabrina had woken up with a tarantula in her bed, found a boa constrictor in the shower, and even accidentally brushed her teeth with crazy glue. But this was the worst. "Where is that little troll?" she cried as she stomped back into the room. "If he's smart, he's hiding from the terrible wrath of Sabrina Grimm," an elderly voice said from across the room. The girls turned and saw Granny Relda standing in the doorway. She was an old woman in a sky-blue dress and a matching hat with a sunflower appliqué on it. Her face was a web of wrinkles, but her green eyes and rosy cheeks made her look much younger. She rushed to Sabrina and wrapped her up in her arms. Daphne joined the hug. "I saw Mom and Dad," Sabrina said, as Granny held her at arm's length to look her up and down. "They were in some kind of hospital on top of a mountain. There was a little girl in a red cloak and a monster as big as a truck. Puck says it's called a Jabberwocky."
"Creepy," Daphne cried.
"They looked fine, Granny, like they had been sleeping the whole time. We tried to rescue them, but the little girl had this magic ring, and before I knew it, they had vanished into thin air. Then the Jabberwocky set everything on fire with its breath. The place looked like they had been living in it for a long time. There were red handprints all over the walls, too. Granny, I think this little girl is the leader of the Scarlet Hand. There might be some clues there, but we have to go now before it burns to the ground."
"Sabrina, you've been in the hospital for 3 days," Granny Relda said in her light German accent. "The place where you saw your parents is nothing but ash now."
3 days. Sabrina felt a sob rising in her throat.
"I'm so sorry, Liebling.
If you're feeling up to it, the doctor says we can take you home," the old woman continued. Sabrina nodded, fighting back tears. Just then, a nurse entered the room carrying a bouquet of exotic flowers. "Oh, look, our patient is awake," she said, "in time to receive some flowers. These just arrived." She set the flowers on a table. Sabrina pulled a little card off the side of the pot and read the inscription. "Get well soon. Love, Uncle Jake." Granny's face seemed to tighten for a moment, but then she smiled.
"Must have been sent to the wrong room. Let's go, girls. We have a ride waiting for us downstairs."
Snow White was beautiful, charming, sweet, funny, and intelligent. The only thing she wasn't was subtle. She couldn't stop staring at Sabrina's mustache and goatee in the rearview mirror of her car. And after catching the woman's gaze for the 100th time, Sabrina finally blurted out that Puck had done it to her. The pretty teacher laughed so hard she snorted. Then she apologized.
"Boys will be boys," she said,
as she steered her car down the old country roads of Ferryport Landing.
"They can be pretty immature when they're young, but they get a little better as they get older."
"Puck is over 4,000 years old, Ms. White," Sabrina grumbled. "I think the odds of him getting more mature are pretty slim."
"You're probably right,"
the woman sighed, sharing a knowing smile with Granny Relda, who sat in the front seat beside her.
"Billy is nearly 500, and most of the time he doesn't act a day over 7. "So, are the two boyfriend and girlfriend?"
Daphne cooed. She hung on the back of the front seat to hear all the gossip.
"Daphne," Ms. White said as her cheeks flushed, "we're just talking."
"Something you two haven't done for a few 100 years, Granny Relda said. "I've heard the good mayor has been sending you flowers every day."
"Relda, you gossip, who told you that?"
Snow White cried.
"Oh, a little bird told me,"
Granny replied. Sabrina rolled her eyes. In a town like Fairyport Landing, filled with fairy tale characters and magical creatures, saying a little bird told her wasn't just an expression. It had probably happened.
When you two get married, can I be your flower girl?
Daphne begged.
I'll make you a deal, Daphne. If the mayor and I ever get married, you can be the flower girl, but you might be a very old woman by the time it happens. We're only up to having coffee together. I want to take our relationship slowly, and he's busy with the election, Ms. White said.
Election? Sabrina asked.
The mayoral election, Ms. White explained. We have one every 4 years, though it seems like a bit of a waste of money these days. No one ever runs against Billy.
Soon, Snow White steered her car into the Grimm family's driveway and parked. Everyone got out and said their goodbyes.
Snow, thank you so much for the ride, Granny Relda said.
My pleasure, Relda. If you need anything, just give me a ring. Until the school is rebuilt, all I've got to keep me busy is the self-defense class. Which reminds me, will I be seeing my star pupil again this Friday?
Ms. White turned to Daphne. The little girl bowed to her, the way people do in martial arts films.
Yes, Sensei, she said with a big grin.
Have you been practicing your warrior face?
The little girl clenched her hands into claws, squinted her eyes, and contorted her mouth so that she looked like she was very angry, though her overalls, with a kitten sewn on the front, made it all a little comical.
Very good, Snow White said. I was very intimidated.
Then she wished Sabrina a speedy recovery before getting back in her car and driving away.
What was all that sensei stuff?
Sabrina asked her little sister.
Granny thought it was a good idea to keep me busy while you were in the hospital. She signed me up for Ms. White's Bad Apples self-defense class at the community center. I've only gone once, but she says I'm a fierce warrior.
A fierce warrior, huh? Sabrina laughed. Was that what all the warrior face stuff was about?
Yes, it's to let an attacker know that you mean business, Daphne explained.
It looked like it was to let an attacker know you were constipated, Sabrina said.
What does constipated mean? Daphne asked.
Sabrina leaned over, cupped her hand around her sister's ear, and whispered the definition to her. The little girl stepped back and crinkled up her nose.
You're gross.
Granny led the girls to the porch and dug in her handbag for her key ring. It had hundreds of keys on it, which she quickly sorted through to find the ones that fit the dozen locks on the front door. When she was finished with the keys, she knocked 3 times on the door and said, "We're home." The last magical lock slid open, and the family hurried inside the house and out of the cold. Daphne had to help Sabrina out of her coat and boots. With her broken arm in its clunky cast, Sabrina realized there were a few things she wouldn't be able to do on her own. She didn't like the feeling of helplessness. It didn't feel natural for Daphne to be taking care of her. Still, there was something she could do to help everyone, and she couldn't wait to get started. She made a beeline to the enormous bookshelves in the living room, which housed the family's collection of journals, cloth-bound records of everything every Grimm had experienced since Wilhelm Grimm had arrived in the town more than 200 years earlier. Sabrina was sure there must be something in them about a little girl and her pet monster, but before she could grab a single volume, her grandmother stepped in her way.
No detective work today. You're going straight to bed and getting some rest.
Rest? I've been asleep for 3 days,
Sabrina complained.
I can rest when Mom and Dad are safe at home.
Granny Relda shook her head.
Upstairs, she said.
Sabrina scowled and stomped up the steps to her room. The old woman and Daphne followed and helped her out of her clothes. The whole experience was humiliating. Sabrina couldn't even put on her own pajamas without help. Climbing into bed was equally difficult. And when her grandmother started laying heavy quilts on her, she knew that getting out again was going to be a real challenge.
I bet reading one of the journals might make me sleepy,
Sabrina said, as her grandmother added another blanket to the mountain of down quilts trapping her.
Are you warm enough?
Granny Relda asked, as she tucked the sides of the blankets underneath Sabrina, turning her into a human burrito.
Yes, you could bake a turkey under here, the girl said, struggling to free herself.
Just then, Elvis peeked around the door jamb.
Elvis! Sabrina called. Come here, boy. Help me escape.
The family's 200-pound Great Dane let out a soft whine. Despite his imposing figure and a face that said, I can eat you in one bite, the dog had a sensitive, loving nature. He was incredibly playful and affectionate to the girls, and normally he would have leaped onto the bed and covered Sabrina in happy kisses. There was something wrong.
What's with him? Sabrina asked.
He's pouting, Granny Relda said stiffly.
Pouting? Why? I'll show you, Daphne said, rushing over to the dog.
She tried to pull him into the room by his collar, but Elvis wouldn't budge.
Young man, get in here and say hello, Granny insisted.
Elvis snorted and reluctantly stepped into the doorway. He was wearing a green vest, white booties, a saggy red Santa hat with furry white trim, and a long white beard attached under his chin. When he was in full view, he dropped his head and whined.
Don't feel bad, Pooch, Sabrina said sympathetically. I might be known as Captain Dutyface until I'm in college.
I think he looks handsome, Daphne cried, wrapping her arms around the dog's neck.
He's my handsome little Christmas baby.
He's one miserable baby, Sabrina said, laughing.
I've been working on that costume for days, Granny exclaimed.
Elvis dropped his head and whined again.
Okay, Granny surrendered. Take it off him.
Elvis ran around in circles happily, knocking Daphne to the floor as she tried to remove his vest and hat. He gave her a slobbery lick on the face when she succeeded in removing his white beard. She handed it to Sabrina.
You want this? It'll hide the goatee.
Sabrina frowned and pulled the covers up to just beneath her nose.
The fairy boy is dead.
Your sister's bunking with me tonight, so you've got the bed all to yourself, Granny said.
What about Mom and Dad?
Your parents are fine. You said yourself they looked as if they had been sleeping the whole time. For now, I think it's best if we just wait until we get another chance to rescue them. I don't believe chasing after that girl and the Jabberwocky is wise.
Sabrina couldn't believe her ears. Granny Relda, one of the famous Grimm detectives, was turning down a mystery, and one that involved her own flesh and blood.
But what about that building Puck and I discovered? Sabrina cried. There could be something that survived the fire that could tell us where Mom and Dad are.
You and your sister don't need to be snooping with that thing running around, Granny said. Promise me you will not go back there, Sabrina.
The girl scowled.
Promise me, Sabrina,
the old woman demanded.
She promises, Daphne said. We won't go up there.
Satisfied, Granny led Daphne and Elvis into the hallway. When she reached the doorway, she turned, flipped off the light, and stood in the darkness watching Sabrina.
I can't lose you, Liebling, the old woman said quietly. I've already lost too many.
Mom and Dad need us, Sabrina said, feeling her anger rise in her throat.
Granny nodded, but said nothing, and then vanished down the hallway. Sabrina lay in bed for hours, brooding over what had happened. Was her grandmother really going to ignore everything that Sabrina had discovered? She had seen her mother and father. She knew what their kidnapper looked like. She'd been at the location the bad guys had been using for a hideout. How could her grandmother say it was best to wait for another opportunity when they were so close? She scowled again in the direction of the doorway, where her grandmother had stood so silently, and caught sight of something that she realized might explain her grandmother's behavior.
Mr. Canis's bedroom door was directly across from her own. Most nights, she heard the restless old man as he fought the demon that lived inside him. His alter ego, the big bad wolf, was a killing machine. But Granny had believed in him. He had been her companion and best friend, and despite his horrible past, the one person in Fairyport Landing who she trusted completely. Now he was gone. Sabrina realized how selfish she was being. Granny Relda was heartbroken, and certainly not ready to plunge the family into another dangerous adventure, even if it meant saving Henry and Veronica. Her grandmother needed time to mourn. Sabrina would have to rescue her parents on her own. When she was sure everyone was deeply asleep, Sabrina struggled from her blanket cocoon. It took her nearly half an hour to maneuver herself to freedom, but eventually she escaped and headed downstairs. She crept through the house, doing her best to avoid creaky floorboards. Being in the foster care system for so long had taught her a lot about how to be sneaky. She could creep out of someone's house right under the person's nose. Once in the living room, she reached over and flipped on a table lamp. Elvis was lying on the couch, a place he knew very well he was not supposed to be. He cocked his head with a guilty look.
"You don't say anything, and I won't say anything," Sabrina whispered.
The big dog seemed okay with the deal. He plopped his huge noggin back down on a cushion and fell asleep. On the far wall were the bookshelves that held the family journals, as well as the largest collection of fairy tale stories and studies Sabrina had ever seen, including such volumes as The Seven People You Meet in Oz, Cheap Eats in Wonderland, and a weighty one called The Paul Bunyan Diet. The library spilled onto the floor and into the other rooms. Some books held up wobbly tables. Others were literally swept under the rug. Sabrina had once found a book inside the toilet tank. Tonight, she didn't need to search for what she wanted. She reached over and scooped up as many family journals as her good arm would hold. Crossing into the dining room, she placed them on the table and then went back for the rest. Once she had gathered them all, she flipped on a tiny lamp by the table and sat down to read.
"Someone in this family has to know something about the girl in the red cloak and her pet Jabberwocky," she thought.
She found her first reference to the Jabberwocky in her great-great-great-great-great-grandfather Wilhelm's account of his Atlantic crossing with his magical passengers. Wilhelm had brought the Ever-Afters to America to help them escape persecution, and from his earliest entries, Sabrina could see it hadn't been an easy voyage. July 17th, 1805. "I'm contemplating turning back. The voyage is already fraught with disasters. Crossing the Atlantic with a ship full of fairy tale creatures is a difficult enough task, but situations became unruly today when the Jabberwockies ran amok. I curse myself for putting so much stock in the Queen of Hearts' demands. She insisted the beasts might someday be domesticated. The woman is a fool, but she has tremendous support amongst the passengers and crew. 15 leagues out, the trouble began. The Jabberwockies broke loose from their cages. There were 10, and together they killed a dozen human seamen before Lancelot and Robin Hood drove them into the hull of the ship. The Black Knight went down with the Vorpal Blade and finished the monsters off. Then the rest of us tossed their bodies overboard. Let the sharks have their foul remains."
"What's the Vorpal Blade?" Sabrina wondered.
But Wilhelm never mentioned it again. Sabrina searched the other journals and found no other references to the Jabberwockies or the Blade, except in 2 entries by her great-great-great-grandfather, Spaulding Grimm. March 9th, 1909. "When the Lilliputians came to me with the news, I hoped it was just more of their usual mischief, but they were right. A Jabberwocky is roaming the forest. From what Father told me, the monsters had all been killed during the voyage from Europe.
Could one of the monsters have attached itself to the bottom of the ship and survived the rest of the trip? The magic mirror has informed me that the beasts hibernate for great periods of time, so it could have hidden in the woods without any of us finding it. It's also possible that someone brought another one over from Wonderland, but who? Like my grandfather, I have turned to the Black Knight. I gave him the Vorpal Blade and my prayers. March 10th, 1909. The Black Knight has betrayed me. Instead of hunting the Jabberwocky, he used the Vorpal Blade in a way I never thought possible. He cut a hole in the magical barrier that surrounds the town. He's escaped into the world of humans. I blame myself for trusting the knight. His history is filled with double dealings, but there were no other volunteers. I found the sword lying nearby and have it again in my possession, though it will do me little good. There's no one brave enough in this town to go after the monster, and no one I trust with the blade. Baba Yaga has offered her help. She claims she can entrap the monster with the same spells she and my grandfather cast on the town. Once the beast is captured, I'll find a way to destroy the blade. If the rest of the Everafters were to find out that it can cut through the barrier, there would be chaos in the streets. Perhaps the Blue Fairy can be of some assistance. Sabrina closed the journal and looked over at the clock on the wall. She'd been working for nearly 3 hours, and sleep was finally creeping up on her. The only other thing she had discovered was strange but unhelpful. Some of the pages in her father's journals had been ripped out, a great many of them, in fact, at the end of his writings. Her eyes fluttered. She wondered if closing them for a moment or two might help. No sooner had she rested her head on the dining room table and closed her eyes when someone said, "Time to wake up." Sabrina bolted upright in her chair and glanced around the dining room. Sitting at the end of the table was the girl in the red cloak. The Jabberwocky was seated next to her, breathing so heavily, Sabrina could feel his breath from across the room. The two intruders were hovering over a filthy tea set laid out on the table. The little girl poured a thick, stringy substance into two cups and set one in front of the monster. Its teeth gnashed, and a rope of drool fell out of its mouth. "Have some tea," the little girl said to Sabrina. She poured a third cup and slid it across the table. Whatever was in it was bubbling and black. "How did you get in here?" Sabrina asked. The little girl in red giggled. Suddenly, Henry and Veronica materialized in the seats next to Sabrina. They looked terrified and worried. "Sabrina, you have to save us," her father said. "You're our only hope," her mom cried. "But I'm just a little girl," Sabrina protested. Just then, the shrill cry of an unhappy infant filled the room. "You've woken the baby," the little girl wailed. The Jabberwocky tossed the table aside, sending the tea set smashing to the floor. The creature leaped forward and wrapped its huge talons around Sabrina's neck. And then Sabrina woke up. The Jabberwocky, the girl in red, and her mom and dad were gone. She sat silently for a moment, struggling to calm her breathing. She glanced down at the journals in front of her, noticing that her grandfather's journal was flipped open. There was something very small written at the bottom of one of the pages, and Sabrina had to strain to read it. Ferryport Landing Asylum Patient List, 1955. The Mad Hatter, diagnosis, schizophrenia. Chicken Little, diagnosis, panic attacks. Hansel, diagnosis, eating disorder, outpatient. The White Rabbit, diagnosis, OCD, obsessive compulsive disorder, outpatient care. The Old Woman Who Lived in a Shoe, diagnosis, exhaustion, outpatient. Ichabod Crane, diagnosis, night terrors, outpatient. Little Red Riding Hood, diagnosis, psychosis, with delusions and hallucinations,
Homicidal tendencies. Sabrina's heart rose up into her throat when she saw the last name on the list. The little girl in the red cloak who had taken her parents was Little Red Riding Hood. Now that it was right in front of her, she felt stupid. How could I not figure that out? But how could she? She'd read the story many times. Little Red Riding Hood was one of the good guys. She wasn't evil. She was a victim. Why would she kidnap Henry and Veronica Grimm? And then it dawned on her. All the rooms she had seen in the abandoned building she and Puck had been transported to had been hospital rooms. It was the Fairyport Landing Asylum. She leaped from her chair and hurried through the house, back up the steps and down the hall to Granny's room. She did her best to open the door without causing it to creak and found her sister sound asleep next to their grandmother. Sabrina rushed to her side and gently shook the little girl awake. "What's wrong?" Daphne whispered as she rubbed the sleep from the corners of her eyes. "You were mad at me for not including you when I went to get Mom and Dad, right?" Sabrina said. Her little sister nodded. "Then get up. We've got some work to do."